So what we see here is it starts off at the very beginning. I'm reading from the New King James, and it starts off, it says, it happened after this. And I've always been taught, if it says therefore or it happened after this, then you need to go back and see what the word is talking about. So if we look back in chapter 19, in verses 4 and 5, we see, so Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. So we see here that Jehoshaphat was used to bring his people back to the Lord. Now, as we know ourselves as born-again believers, just coming back to the Lord doesn't mean that trials and tribulations and all these other things, you know, enemies coming against, and it doesn't mean that we're going to have peace. We have peace with God, but we don't have peace in this world apart from God. So what we see here is it goes on back in chapter 20. We see that there's going to be some turmoil coming towards the people. And it would be very good if we just came to the Lord and it was like, it's all good and everything was kumbaya and we're living with no problems at all. But I know, I mean, I see a lot of different names up there. I don't know a lot of you, but one thing I do know is you're all going through your own personal trial, struggle, or affliction, or something is coming upon you, because this is guaranteed and it is promised that this would happen to each and every one of us. So I love passages like 2 Chronicles where we read here about Jehoshaphat. I mean, because after he heard of the approaching armies, he knew he was outnumbered. He knew that this was going to happen. And so what did he do? What was his way of dealing with things? I mean, because a lot of people in that situation, if you know that you've got armies coming against you to attack you, and you know you're outnumbered, a lot of people in the world would turn and run, or they would hide, or they would surrender. Well, this isn't so with Jehoshaphat, because his first thought and his first action was to seek the Lord in prayer. And he also commanded the people to join him. Now, this is such a picture for us, that when something comes upon us, we are to turn to the Lord immediately and come to him in prayer. We're not to look at our circumstances, no matter how big they are. We need to recognize the Lord is with us. And we need to lift up our concerns to him. Because when we do come under attack, when we face trials and tribulations, it's like we're not to fight in our flesh. You know, our flesh, as I said, in this situation that Jehoshaphat faced, would either be to run, hide, or surrender. So we're not to battle that way. We don't fight our battles in the flesh. We fight our battles in the spirit. And in the spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are to pray. We're to lift up our request to our Lord. So Jehoshaphat, even though he was fearful, set himself to seek the Lord. It's such a good example to each and every one of us of how to deal with things. Prayer is the greatest weapon we, the church, have. So I ask, and I'm not going to ask you to like tell me, but basically, between you and God, ask him to reveal to you how good is your prayer life. And I'll put my hand up, I'll be the first, and go, do you know what? My life needs more prayer in it. I fall short in prayer. No one will ever say I've prayed too much. You know, not one of us can say that. But let's take a look at Jehoshaphat's prayer in verses 6 through 7. It says, first of all, he declares, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? I mean, is God the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Well, obviously, he is. We know this. So this same God who we are reading about here is the same God in our lives today. And the first thing he did, O Lord God of our fathers, God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? It's almost like we're reading a prayer of Jehoshaphat where he is reminding God who God is. And in doing so, this would build his faith, because it's reminding him also who God is, how big and how powerful he is. You know, and once again in verse 7, he starts, he goes, are you not our God? And I love that when I read that. Are you not our God? Is he not our God? We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to run and flee or hide. Is he not our God? And we know in the scripture it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And it's such a great place for us to live our lives, knowing that we come under an almighty sovereign God who is above all, who knows everything. He is in control, and he is faithful to us, and he loves us so much, you know, that he would send his only son to us and to die for us. Now, I've been off work for a while, and what's been happening is I've been looking after my grandson. So I go over my son's house in the morning, and I sit there, and he has a baby monitor downstairs, and I just he's 2 years old. So I just sit there and look at the monitor, and I watch my grandson Teddy sleeping, and I just smile. I don't know what it is. I just see him laying there sleeping, and I smile. And I started thinking to myself, Lord, even when I'm asleep, you are looking upon me. And you are just smiling, like, look at my children. He knows us so well. He knows us even when we're sleeping. He's such a good God, and he's such a big God. Now, let me ask, as I said, is God not the same today? Is he not the same God? And we need to start thinking about in our lives, for us personally, I always like to ask questions and go, this is between you and God. Ask God, you know, to speak to you personally, that he would speak to you through his spirit. And I like to ask questions because to me, it makes me have that communion with God and that fellowship. So if we ask God right now, and we just say, Father, be open and honest with me, as you always have to be, because you're God, reveal to me how much and how big I think you are. How big is our God to us? You know, because one day we're all going to stand before him and give an account. And we don't want to stand before him and see him and just start thinking, man, I should have thought bigger. I should have prayed bigger. You know, because our God is so big. He is so, He, as I said, he is sovereign. He is above everything. Now, as we went, go through the prayer back in Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, what happens is after he has finished his prayer, it says in verse 14 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. And what we see here is the Lord gives him a message. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaks through him. And it says, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. How reassuring would have that been to hear? You know, and I love how it speaks here, you know. And the first thing that he said to the people was, listen. Listen, all of you. And I pray that we would be in prayer and asking the Lord, Lord, give me ears to hear you. Give me ears to hear you. And so as he says, listen, all of you, he had a message for everyone from God. The message was basically, do not be afraid. Do not look at your circumstances. I know your circumstances. Look to me and trust me. Have faith in me, knowing that I, no matter what happens, it's gone through my hands. I have control over it. The enemy often wants to separate us from knowing that God is with us. God is with us even now, today. And it's such a beautiful picture where we shouldn't be afraid. God is not a God of fear. Yes, it says in the word we should fear God. But that's not, we're fearful because he's a bad father. That is the fear of letting him down. That is the fear of disappointing him. That's where our fear should come from. After all he's done for us by sending his son Jesus, that should make us fearful of letting him down now and not being surrendered to him. Jehoshaphat and all the people's response to the word from God was in, as we read in verse 18, it says, he bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. What a beautiful picture that is. They heard the word of God, and they bowed and worshipped the Lord. You know, that they were face down before God. And I think that we can all be face down before God more times than we often do even now. And I love that picture of being bowed down. It's a picture of surrender to God. They were totally surrendered. And I love how the word says in that prophecy, that it says the battle is not yours. You don't have to fight this battle. We don't have to fight the battles. The battle's already been fought for us. We are to live a life of victory because Jesus has conquered even death for us. We can live a life of victory. We can surrender now to the Lord, knowing that the battle belongs to him. And we seek him when the battles come and the trials come and the circumstances arise which may scare us. We're to be quick to respond, not in our flesh, but in prayer to the Lord. And lift ourselves up to him and ask for help. And it's such a beautiful picture, you know. It's like when they responded with being face down. And it's praise to God praises to God were lifted to him from the voices that were loud and high, because what we read, it says, it talks about the voices being so loud, you know, and the praises being loud. And I think we should be living a life where we're praising God, and it's not for everybody else to hear, but out of the overflow of our heart, it should be a loud praise to him. Now, that doesn't always mean it has to be with words. I remember being in a community service once, and that in this place in America, the community would all get together. And it was a worship time with different churches. And we would all come together. And now, there was a church in the community that was very charismatic and very outgoing. Now, at the time, I was in a Baptist church, which was very straight-laced and very, it was very, how can I say, it was very reverent before the Lord. You didn't get demonstrative or anything. So the Lord did a work in me that night. I saw the charismatic church. They were up there. They were very loud and like very, it was full of emotion. And I'm just standing there and I'm like, Lord, look at them. Look at them. Who do they think they are? What do they think they're doing? And it was as if the Lord actually spoke to me and says, I love them. They're my children. And I was like, Lord, can this be right? And he spoke to me and says, they probably look at you and think you're dead. And I was like, oh. So it wasn't that he wanted me to be demonstrative, but what he showed me was my heart was screaming loudly to the Lord. I was exactly the same as them on the inside. So I love that in this picture that they lifted up their praises and their voices and they were loud and high. And when we carry on through into verse, I'm going to jump, skip ahead to verse 24. It says, when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. And in fact, I'm going to back it up to verse 20. I'm so excited here. I'm jumping ahead. Okay. So after they had the message come from the Lord, after the prayer, after they had the message, it says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. Look at this obedience to what they were told to by God. So they've had this, they've surrendered, they've lifted up prayers to the Lord has spoken to them. And he says, the battle's not yours, you know. You're going to be astonished about what's going to happen and occur here. And they arose early in the morning. And it says, it goes, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And this is what they were recognizing. So Jehoshaphat, he's talking, he's like, hear me now, hear me. He was encouraging the people. He goes, hear me, you know. And he was reminding them basically of the message that they heard yesterday. He's like, hear me now, you know. And there was an urgency here. And it wasn't going towards a battle where it was a slow pace. He had an urgency here to see what the Lord was going to do. And it says, it goes in verse 22, it goes, now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set set ambushes amongst the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And look at this. It's like, you can just imagine Jehoshaphat saying, do you know what, army? We've already won this battle. We won it through prayer and seeking the Lord. All we have to do is just sing praises to him and watch him work and do a miracle before us. Because this army that had come against them, this coalition of people, what had happened was something had occurred within them where they actually turned on each other and they killed each other before they even got to the place, to Judah, where they were going to fight. Look what the Lord did here. It's almost like this is crazy. But you know what God does? Things in our lives where we can look upon it and just go, this is just mind-blowing. This is crazy. You know? And he took it and goes, I love how God said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. What a beautiful verse that is. You will not need to fight in this battle. We don't have to fight for God. We have to live and walk in his victory. The battle's already won. When we go through our trials and tribulations and people come against us, but we've already won. All we do is turn our eyes upon the Lord. We seek him. We worship and praise him. We leave it in his hand. And we just trust in him through faith. The battle is already won. It happened the moment they turned back to God and started to pray. The battle was won. In Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 31, it reads, excuse me. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And I read this and I'm like, if God is for us, who can come against? Can God be defeated? No. God is victorious. Can people come against us? Or even maybe kill us? Yes. Do we have victory in that? Yes. Because our worst case scenario of being killed by someone is our best case scenario, where we see the victory of Jesus Christ when we stand in before the Lord. So I look at this and like, we are all alive today. So we can have, and we should be looking at our own mindsets and just thinking, you know, the victory is already won. No matter what comes my way, I can trust you, Lord. And I need to remember my best is yet to come. Our future is bright. Our future is great. We are here just for a little time. And I know that. I mean, I celebrated 33 years of marriage last week. And I said to my wife, Marie, my wife, I was like, where did the time go? Because it seemed like yesterday that I was that young man marrying that young woman. It's like, what happened? This time is so short, but eternity is forever. Our best is yet to come. Our lives here on earth are forever. They are forever filled with battles. As I said, we are promised that we will go through things. things that we will not practice. It's like, oh Lord, bring more upon me so I can see you work in my life. I don't pray like that. You know, it's like, no, often my prayer is, Lord, just remove this from me. But he allows these things. He allows us to go through things so that our faith will grow and we will be established more like his son as we go through these things. We should expect people to come against us. We should expect trials and tribulations. We know, as we read our word, that Jesus Christ went through so much here on earth. Who are we to think that we should be anything different? So I want you to think about your own lives right now and just think about what you're going through today. Sometimes when we think this way, we can be overwhelmed with attacks, you know. But look at Jehoshaphat and the response to the overwhelming attack which was to come upon him and the people. The first thing Jehoshaphat did was, although being fearful, he turned to God. He didn't look to his circumstances, he looked to God. So we are to have not horizontal eyes at what's ahead of us. We are to turn and have vertical eyes. We are to turn to God. And Jehoshaphat, he prayed, asking for God to intervene and help him and his people. He asked and sought help from the Lord, knowing that he could not win. And I loved it, love it, that when he recognized and surrendered and prayed, when he asked for this intervention, he was saying, we are weak. But what does the word say? In our weakness, he is strong. So we need to be in that position of lowliness, knowing that we can't win, but knowing that in our weakness, he is strong. And he reminds God in his prayer, he's like, are you not God in heaven? Are you not our God? And as I stated, I think in this prayer, yes, he's talking to God, are you not? Are you not? But the thing is, what was this doing for him? This was actually bringing him to a place of recognizing who God was. His faith would grow. Look back in your life at things that the Lord has brought you through and what he's done in your life. He has brought us through so much, and we can trust him to carry on bringing us through. Often, he can remove those trials and tribulations and those attacks. He can actually remove them. But many times, he'll either take us through them or over them. He will bring us through in victory. Jehoshaphat confessed, we have no power against this multitude. He recognized that even if defeat came, that he and the people would be saved by God. Because when you look back at his prayer in verse 9, it's another beautiful picture here, because we are going through times. I believe if we're not in the beginning of end times, that we're definitely getting there if we're not in the end times. And we know the Lord's return, and we know that as we read the word, this world is going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And we're going to go through some things. In verse 9, it says, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And I love that picture that he cried out, he recognized that even if defeat did come, he was still victorious. See, we can't lose the battle because the battle's already won. Prayer is victorious in what we are facing today, each one of us. I cannot encourage us enough to pray more. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for those who don't know the Lord. We pray for our circumstances. If the Lord brings someone to memory, lift them up in prayer. Often it can be, do you know what? Lord, you just laid this person on my heart, and I don't know why, but I'm lifting them up to you. I don't know why they've just come to mind. I just know that I need to lift them up. The Lord knows. We can come alongside each other and pray for each other. Prayer is the greatest weapon we, the church, have. And it's probably, around the world, in many churches, probably the most underused weapon that the church has. Prayer, we don't pray for God to work. Prayer is the work. That is the thing. And we need to pray knowing that the battle is won and the victory has come. And that has come through Jesus Christ. We can and should all give thanks to the Lord Jesus, praising him and rejoicing in him in spite of our circumstances. And I know many people who are going through extremely hard circumstances. I think of a lady in our church, and she won't mind me sharing this. She's in her 40s, and it was about 10 years ago she broke her back. And she's stuck in a wheelchair now. 10 years ago, she was running. She used to go out running like 10 miles a day. Now she can't even walk. But I tell you what, her testimony of Jesus is so good. She rejoices in him. In fact, she actually said in a prayer, thank you, Lord, for what I went through and what I'm going through, because without this, I would never have come to you. And she lives a life of such faith, and it's almost like it's catching. You go around her, and her faith, you gravitated towards it, and you see it, and you're like, Lord, I need the faith like she has. Gift me with this faith. It's such a beautiful picture. So we can thank the Lord Jesus that we're going through things, knowing that he's with us. We can praise him, knowing that he is victorious, and we can rejoice in him because he will bring us through. When the situations and circumstances that we're going through in our lives are committed to the Lord in prayer, then we will actually be living out Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And I'm just going to read this and close in prayer. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for this evening, Lord. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would have spoken to each and every one of us. Lord, you know what we're going through. Lord, you know the crises we have in our lives right now. You know what what circumstances are really coming against us. And Lord, I pray that you would use these trials and tribulations, these circumstances, to bring yourself glory. I pray that we would trust in you. I pray that we would be a people of prayer. I pray that we would grow in faith in you through having a greater fellowship with you. Lord, may we lift each other up. May we always know, not from our minds, but from our hearts, the victory is already won and our best is yet to come. And we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.